Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for our chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
I guess I got to have my volume on.
Huh? Yes, that would be helpful. I can hear you now.
I am doing well.
Okay, good, good, good.
Mickey, do you eat the crust on a sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
I eat the crust on pizza.
Oh, yeah, I disagree with you on that. That's for the dog.
Oh.
He loves it, so I gotta make my dog happy.
Why does the dog love it?
I don't, because it's
something. He's got good taste.
There you go. There you go.
That is a great point. All right. So, obviously, gearing up for the 49ers, we've talked a lot. We talked a lot yesterday about some of the challenges they face injury-wise, but a lot of those injuries have hit the offense, whereas the defense has been solid, but maybe not as good as one might usually think of the San Francisco defense.
Well, they lost their linebacker, Dre Greenlaw, torn Achilles.
Yeah.
They lost defensive tackle Javon Hargrove with torn triceps. And their safety, Talanoa Hufanga, tore his wrist ligaments, and he's been out. So they have suffered some injuries defensively to go along with, and who knows what's going to happen with Deebo Samuel, yeah. But it kind of wiped out their wide receiver core. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey looks like they're not going to bring him back till after next week's bye. So, yeah, they've had about as many injuries to deal with as the Cowboys have over these first, 7 weeks of the season.
Have you made your mind up on Brock Purdy and where he kind of stands as a good quarterback, great quarterback, product of system? Where do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, he's been good for, is it 2 years?
This is
his third? And all of a sudden, when he doesn't have all his guys out there, he's not as good. Imagine that.
Team building's important.
He didn't have a very good game this past one. But again, neither quarterback did, if you look at it. I think I wrote this down. Between him and Mahomes, their quarterback ratings weren't even 50.
Yeah. I think that is correct.
I think it was 44 and 30-something. Well, when you throw interceptions, you don't throw for a lot of yards, your rating's not going to be good.
Purdy was 36.7.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to cheat in 2 points, right? I think he's good, but he needs a team around him. He needs, not just a running game, because I think the backup guy is Mason. Is that it?
Yeah.
But he's not a pass catcher the way Christian McCaffrey is. McCaffrey's kind of a dual-type offensive player, and I think they miss that part of it because it's a significant part of the offense. Just like Baltimore, I understand what Derrick Henry's doing, but it helps that you got a quarterback running for, I don't know, he's probably got 300 yards by now, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So there's a dual threat there in the offense they run that I think helps other people be able to be productive. And I think that's the same thing maybe in San Francisco when you got McCaffrey on the field.
You know, we were talking about a lot of bye things yesterday in terms of what we are looking for over the week off and everything. But who's a guy on this team that is maybe better than you thought thus far?
Better than I thought?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that Cooper Beebe would struggle more than he has transitioning from guard to center in the NFL and never had played center before. I think he's been pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You know, and when everybody talks about the line being young, I get that if you have both rookies starting at the two most important spots on the line of scrimmage. But I think it's been the problem is having all five guys coordinated. You're moving new guys in. They got to adjust to the defense shifting right before the snap. Now, what do I do? Or if there's a blitz coming, which guy should I pick up? I think those are some of the things that the all five have struggled with. But I think he's been pretty darn good. I think the rookie linebackers, Overshown and Leofau, I wasn't sure what to expect from Leofau, and the fact that Overshown was coming back from a torn ACL. And I think they've been pretty good, too, when they get the defensive linemen to keep offensive linemen off them. I think their pursuit to the ball has been pretty darn good. So I think just off the top of my head,
okay,
I probably stop there if you got a guy that I think maybe I forgot.
Look, I had high expectations for Overshown, but that answer makes a lot of sense, and you might have actually answered my next question when you were talking about issues across the offensive line, but who's a player that you're like, you got to get more from him?
Well, I think that other than the guys that I got to get healthy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I would think that the defensive tackles as a group have to play better. I think that that's been somewhat lacking. I think Mozzie has had his moments. I think that, you know, the rest of the guys, you know, they brought in all these veteran guys, old guys that have names, and I don't know what they've done so far. And I don't know if that's, you know, not being fair to Jordan Phillips, who's got placed on IR, but even before he got placed on IR, he wasn't doing anything other than getting pushed back off the line of scrimmage. Linville Joseph is okay, but not what I think everybody thought when they saw his name. Oh, yeah. This guy's going to be good. He's 36 years old, and he's trying to play, you know, nose tackle, or, you know, and he got pushed around. So, yeah, that's been a little bit disappointing on just what's taken place there. I think Osa has played well, but again, it takes four guys, and one guy's not going to make a difference by himself because teams watch tape, right? And they see, oh, well, we can take care of that guy and that guy. Now, this Osa guy, we better make that a priority to make sure he doesn't ruin, you know, what we were doing. And going back to another guy that was playing well until he got hurt was Marshawn. I thought he played well, but then he gets hurt, and now, you know, he gets placed on IR, and we won't see him for another couple weeks.
You have strong feelings about Everson Walls and Harvey Martin continuing the march to hopefully making the Hall of Fame?
That one's going to wear, I think it's wearing him out, by the way.
Oh.
The fact that he keeps getting closer and closer and hasn't gotten there yet, right? And the disappointment, I think it's almost like, okay, let me know when it happens. I don't want to get emotionally invested in it and get disappointed again.
Saw that with Drew Pearson, right?
Like, right, exactly. It was yeah. The same thing, you know, and look at what Walls did. People don't understand how good he was. And it wasn't just his rookie year with 11 interceptions that nobody in the league has had more since 81. Think about that. How good do you have
That's
to be?
That's pretty amazing.
Right? I mean, how many years have we moved?
43.
And no one's had more than 11 interceptions. And only one guy, Trayvon Diggs, has had as many. So just that. See, the Hall of Fame sometimes gets caught up in total stats, right?
Yes.
You got to look at preserving the stories that are important to the NFL.
Yes.
And I think they lose sight of that. The voters lose sight of that when they try to whittle down. That story of Everson Walls needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And part of that story is giving a kidney to his former teammate? Seriously? You know, those things need to be preserved. You know, it's the same thing with Bob Hayes. You know, everybody want to look at, well, what he did in the Super Bowls or the Ice Bowl. But the entire story needs to be preserved. This was a track guy in the Olympics winning gold medals, and then he gets into the NFL as a wide receiver and as a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Those stories, and that was my argument when he...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He got ousted when he got close and they didn't vote him in. Those stories need to be preserved. And I think that's one thing that I think the younger generation that hasn't seen these guys play or know some of the backstories don't recognize the importance of that. You go to the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they got their bios in there, and you read this stuff, and you're going, oh, my gosh, what about that? I forgot that story. And that's what they got to preserve, the stories. It's not all about statistics. It's not all about analytics. We get caught up on numbers because we can't quantify what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears.
Man, I love
solid.
It.
You hit a raw nerve, didn't you?
Well, I know. I kind of want you in the room making an argument for us.
Oh,
right?
Argument. I want you in that room for an argument for him.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have to tell Cubby that. It's like, okay, we're going together for this.
Yes. I like that. You really care about him, too. I know this because I've just seen y'all's interactions together.
Right.
Over
and it's
time.
Good because we don't always agree, but we are good enough at what we do that we can disagree and come back laughing, right? Sort
yeah.
of like Jerry Jones on radio, right?
Yep.
I have no thoughts about that. All right, Mickey, I know you got a boogie. Thank you very
I
much,
do.
Good sir.
And if you want to hit another raw nerve, just ask me about tours here at the Star.
Oh yeah, we will
do that.
You gotta
tomorrow.
Go. We will
write
get to
it
that
down.
Tomorrow.
Okay,
yes.
We will get into that. There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you can, go ahead and throw it. Man, he's fired up today. Go ahead and throw it to cut number three, please.
Heiskanen steps up, Thompson with the steal across the line. Heiskanen catches up, but so does Power. Thompson scores.
Season over.
It was one game, Mike.
Two games.
No, they won their last game.
Nobody saw it.
Because it was a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So, a really tough night again for the Stars. They fall 4-2 to the Buffalo Sabres. There's a couple of things to take out of that. Once again, we talk about this all the time. It's kind of like, you know how you can talk about NFL games like, hey, what did the turnover balance look like? That'll mm-hmm. probably tell you what you need to know. This is another one. What does the special teams balance look like? That'll probably tell you a lot of what you need to know.
DeBoer wasn't happy with that.
No, no. And neither was Jamie Benn,
nope.
Our kind of buddy. So Ofer on the power play again last night, Jamie Benn was like, it's on us, the players. We're not winning puck battles. And so I appreciated that he's like, hey, I'm not looking anywhere else except for us. And if you look across the standings thus far, and I know it's early, but the Stars are 29th in power play conversion. They're 24th in shot percentage on the power play, which is, you know, kind of makes sense. You're probably not going to convert into a lot of goals if you're not really high up taking shots. And 29th in power play shots per game. So almost dead last.
Yeah.
And then the bottom third, essentially, in all of those categories. Power play, power play, power play is something we need to keep an eye on.
It
now.
Just seems that they think it's just a fix of being more aggressive, getting the puck, winning and, those battles there.
And winning the faceoffs, yep. Especially.
Which they're usually good at.
Yes, that is fair.
You said.
But especially in the power play situation, win those faceoffs.
I agree.
Thank you. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we didn't get a chance to talk about it at the beginning of the show. Let's hit it now. Next up, scouting the 49ers. Next right here on The Fan.
All right.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's scout those 49ers a little bit more. And for people that were asking, I feel like Kyle Shanahan made it pretty clear that Christian McCaffrey is not going to play in this game.
What?
As far as Deebo Samuel goes, he was released from the hospital yesterday. They said they'll monitor how he progresses over the next few days and get a better idea. But, I mean, that feels tough, but who the hell knows?
That is the way that football happens sometimes.
That is true. So no Brandon Ayuk, no Christian McCaffrey.
We'll be fine.
Still possibility
this
of
game's
Deebo
over.
Samuel.
Might as well just go ahead and not.
It's like playing the Giants.
Yeah. Why even play the game at this point? We know what's going to happen.
I agree with that. So when it comes to the 49ers, though, they obviously still have plenty of combinations of players that can make you nervous. Oh, and I wanted to.
Here comes a negative, Kevin.
I'm just bringing up some points that I don't think are negative, just telling you things. I want to focus in on this particular sequence against Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, all hold Patrick Mahomes in very high regard. Nick Bosa gets a sack on Patrick Mahomes, loss of 5 yards. Very next play. Third year defensive lineman, Kalia Davis. He came down the line, and he got his first career interception. Tip to pass, first career interception. Next time the defense went on the field, then Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd got home and hit Mahomes for a loss of 4 yards and essentially forced a 3-and-out. So on back-to-back possessions, we're talking about so many of the things that you fear seeing defensively. Your quarterback gets crushed, you get the sack, there's an interception, there's a 3-and-out, and it wasn't just the Bosa show. It was Bosa, Davis, Collins, Floyd. There are still plenty of defensive players for San Francisco that give me plenty of pause.
Malik Collins scare you too?
Yes, that was one of
that
the
throat punch. Is that the reason why?
No, Kevin, not necessarily.
The throat punch isn't the concern. He throat punched Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
What if he does that to Dak?
You listen here.
Penalty. Hopefully.
You guys ready to listen?
I'm ready to listen.
I watched the San Francisco Kansas City game.
Okay.
I did too.
Dak can't move like Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
A lot of the plays, there were not a lot of positive plays for the Kansas City Chiefs in that game offensively. But most of the positive plays came off of Patrick Mahomes running or Patrick Mahomes creating something while under pressure and escaping the pocket, flip passing it forward for 7 yards, running for a first down, running for a touchdown. The biggest play of the game, it felt like for them, was running down the left sidelines for, I'm going to guess, about 40 yards. There were certain times, you brought this up yesterday, I think, Corey, is that they had some positive run plays. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but they had some. A lot of the time, Patrick Mahomes was getting hit hard. There wasn't time to diagnose the defense. There were times where they said there was a coverage sack. How in the world are the Cowboys going to score? Dak does not create a lot of extra time. Dak is not a runner the way Patrick Mahomes can create runs. I honestly don't. Now, they don't have anybody like CeeDee Lamb. Like, the Chiefs have nobody close to CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. But what does it matter if you're getting the pressure? And just like Kansas City, where's their offensive line good? Interior. I know that the Cowboys are taking a lot of heat, but interior's probably better than exterior part of the line. Tackles are the weakest part of their line. Well, Bosa and others were destroying that, and they hit hard. They are a physical team. There's going to be injury timeouts, whether the guy gets injured for the whole game, whether he gets injured for weeks, whether he just needs to miss a few plays. There are going to be injuries in this game against this San Francisco defense.
Nothing will come easy against the San Francisco defense, and nothing will come easy with this Cowboys offense. Like that's the reality this year so far. They've proven nothing else to us so far.
Okay, I was actually going to ask a question about that. I'm not saying they're the same or anything like that. Do you look back at the Pittsburgh game being a physical, being an ugly game?
Yeah, you have to do that.
And that you won that as showing you that maybe you have more of a stomach for the fight than in years past?
Well, yes, but also Justin Fields gave up some moments, opportunities.
As he will do.
And the Chiefs forced Brock Purdy to give up some of those. I'm not sure Brock Purdy is he's going to miss as much. So that's where I'm like, I still think you have to do the right things. But, I mean, you just pointed out all the people that are missing there. So, yeah, it is going to be one of those. You should have your hat to hang on that. But you should have had it against Detroit, too. That you can play a tough game.
That's fair.
You got toughed out.
Yeah.
I will be shocked if 40 total points are scored in this game. I haven't even looked at the over-under, but okay. I will. With what San Francisco's missing offensively, with what the Cowboys are going to deal with San Francisco's defense, and you have no running game. You cannot control the tempo and flow of this game.
No.
It's literally impossible for the Cowboys in 2024 against a good team to control the tempo and flow of a game. They don't have the team to do it. So I just see that this being a shorter game because San Francisco is going to run the ball at least 50% of the time, I think, in this game, or very short little passes that are not, like, hey, you have to get open. You have to create space. I don't think they have the talent to do it. CeeDee Lamb literally, I think, is the only player in this game on both teams that can create space. The issue is do they, like Detroit, just double team him and let everybody else figure it out?
You know, I'm intrigued by this. I looked it up, kind of surprised to learn that the over-under of 46.5 in this game is tied for the third highest on Sunday.
Gosh, I don't see
it. And the fourth highest of the weekend. Now, I know that is kind of reflective of lowered scoring across the league, but you've also seen the point spread tighten up about 1.5. It depends on where you look. There's 5.5, 6. Now it's down to San Francisco by 4.5. And I realize they have plenty of injury problems. So do the Cowboys. This just feels like by nature, the physical nature of it, a game that they don't normally win, but I'm curious about that Pittsburgh game being like, hey, we can do this.
So in that game in particular, Kevin, the Cowboys still didn't score a lot of points.
Fair. Oh, I don't think it's going to be high scoring either.
So
yeah, for sure.
We're discussing the Niners defense and the fear there and what they're lacking offensively. It really does. This game will rely and pivot on the Cowboys defense.
Yeah.
Because if the Cowboys defense can keep pace with what the Niners defense does to the Cowboys offense, then you have a chance at the end of the game. That's really all. There have been times over the last 3 years where you've been like, just outrun them, just outthrow them, just go outscore them. And the Cowboys could. Like, that was their mantra. That was the way they were going to win games. They aren't that right now. So the identity has to change just a little bit, and you have to be a tougher team. So defensively, you have to keep the game close enough to give yourself a shot at the end of the game to win. So it's going to come down to the coverages of Diggs and Plan. It's going to come down to what your linebacker health and whether or not they can do what they did against Pittsburgh and stay disciplined. Those guys in front of them, whatever combination they decide to put at the defensive tackle group, those guys set the entire tone for everything else that goes on behind them. It's going to come down to what the Cowboys can do defensively, because if they don't, then it's going to be big plays that go downfield like we saw with the Saints.
Yeah.
Like we saw with the Lions.
Yeah.
But it's not at home, so, right? Everything's good there.
So we should be better. D'Amador Lenore is another name that I wanted to throw out there, the defensive back.
He's been really good.
Yeah, he grabbed a pick off of Mahomes in that last game as well. And
I've just seen him make a lot of plays just in general.
And you see that Mahomes 44.4 passer rating, the lowest single passer rating of his entire career. Now, on the one hand, if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be like, yeah, and we still won the game.
And we got DeAndre Hopkins.
That is encouraging.
It's not official yet.
But it's going to happen. But on the flip side, if you're the San Francisco defense, you got to be pretty stoked. You're like, hey, we just went up against, I know he's not having his best season statistically, but the best quarterback in the league. We held him to his lowest rating of his career. And it's not just one person. It's a variety of people. Like, we just listed off five people who caused problems defensively for San Francisco last week. So when you talk about the Cowboys defense needs to be up to the task, man, does it ever.
And the other thing too, Kevin, you pointed out earlier this week, the Cowboys discrepancy in turnovers, the turnover battle. And that's going to be like, that's a huge thing. How much faith do you have that they can get two turnovers this week?
I don't. And I'll tell you,
but whenever Dan Quinn was here, you were like, if we don't get three, it's a letdown.
Yeah, what are we doing? Right? That's an interesting point you bring up. I just want to throw this out real quick, Mike. Both of these teams are bad at turning the ball over. And what I mean by that is both the Cowboys and the 49ers have turned the ball over 11 times this year. So that is bad, bad, bad. That's going to put you towards the bottom of the NFL. But how many times have the Cowboys gotten a turnover? Five. You know how many times the 49ers have gotten a turnover? 13.
Okay.
So there's a staggering differential. Okay. I hope it is bad luck for them.
I like what you're saying, and I just had to go to the box score real quick. And this is where I just don't see how the Cowboys. It's weird because San Francisco's 3-4. They're not very good. They have tons of injuries. But last week, Kansas City, 39 carries for 184 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
So we know the Cowboys can't do that. That's impossible for this team to do. And then Kansas City held San Francisco, and it's not like the best, but 24 carries for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. So they were able to win that game. If you look at turnovers, yes. But then you look at, well, they outran them by 83 yards and they scored 4 touchdowns on running plays.
And whether it's the line or the backs, there's no part of me that feels like the Cowboys can do that.
Right. Now, I'm going to be honest. Dak better play better than this. 16 of 27 for 154 yards and 2 interceptions. That was Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball. But that goes to show, as far as we know, everybody who played this past Sunday for San Francisco, I know you went over the injuries. They didn't have any major defensive injuries in that game, or
exactly.
Did they?
Some of those defensive injuries that Mickey mentioned, they go back just a little bit.
So those guys that were able to make Patrick Mahomes' job a living hell on Sunday are all going to be there this Sunday against a team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes. And I'm assuming they will be very motivated on Sunday Night Football, 3-4, playing against the Dallas Cowboys.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. The stats are similar to 2023 thus far. So why doesn't it seem like CeeDee Lamb is having a very good season? Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
From the 45, first down, shotgun, good blitz pickup, and Prescott down the left side. Lamb broke the tackle. 35, outrun 3 men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go.
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com.
By the way, Kevin, Ben DiNucci, 320 today with the G-Bag Nation.
Oh, and he has fiery thoughts about the tours and stuff, doesn't he? Interesting. So the Chiefs have locked in the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. It is conditional fifth-round pick.
Yes!
That could move up to a fourth based on a variety of incentives. So not a particularly hefty price for the Chiefs to pay to make this happen.
No, not at all. They got a you don't think he's good anymore.
He's fine.
You think he can be better with this team?
Probably.
I'm interested in how they use him.
Because if not here, then where?
Yes. And I'm interested in how they use him because he's always been that dude that you line up out wide and you just say, beat the dude out there, right? He's never really been that dude that you're like, all right, you're CeeDee Lamb, slot receiver, outside, inside, running the backfield. You just said, go over there and we're going to throw it in your direction. He'll take the ball from whoever.
Right.
And I don't know exactly how Andy Reid's going to plan to use him because there are a lot of options to play with this team. It's just, can they get all everything that they need going?
Andy Dalton and his family were involved in a car accident yesterday, but I believe Andy Dalton's wife took to Instagram to say, thank you everyone for checking in on our family and for your prayers. We're a little banged up, but we're beyond thankful for the Lord's protection over our family yesterday. So it sounds like hopefully nothing like truly, truly horrible has happened, but you always get nervous when you hear about that kind of accident or something like that. All right. This was fascinating to me. And I know he had a really huge second half of the season. But after six games this year, CeeDee Lamb has 32 catches. Last year at this point, he had 34. He's caught 467 receiving yards. Last year, it was 475. So pretty much the same. This year, he has two receiving touchdowns. Last year at this point, he only had one.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we all loved what CeeDee Lamb did for the team.
He turned it on after this week.
But it just doesn't feel like that way this year, right? Because I feel like we've been talking about, like, hey, where's the connection with CeeDee and Dak? And, like, why does it not feel like he's having a particularly good season by CeeDee Lamb standards? For human standards, he's having a very good season.
Because he got paid a significant contract, and now you expect him to be a different player. Which isn't necessarily the reality because they don't all turn into different players once they get a different contract. But the reality is he can still make it a great season. It's not Rougned Odor where it just kind of looks good at the end of the season because Rougned Odor hit a couple home runs that didn't matter. You know, it's more along the lines of he's going to be a critical part to the Cowboys offense throughout the entire season. They got to figure out how to get him open. Now, how much and how important are these cross the hall meetings that they have during their bye week where they go and say, all right, defense, tell me why you can defend me. Tell me what the trend is around here that we're seeing that's keeping us from doing it. And we're going to fix these things. And if that's if they can actually do that over this break, then maybe that changes some of the adjustments on how they use CeeDee Lamb.
He had entered the category of, is he the best wide receiver in the game conversation? Okay. Not that he is, right? Everybody would say Jefferson. Maybe you would go to Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill, this and that. And we see that Tyreek Hill's struggling tremendously because of his offense.
He's no quarterback, yeah.
At this point, we heard from the Detroit Lions. This is a very simple game plan against the Cowboys. It's not very hard as a defensive coordinator. He's the only player on the team that can hurt you. Everybody else has to slowly get down the field. They cannot beat you big time. They can maybe get open. They can maybe catch a ball here and there. They can't run. So I just think that it's very tough when you're like this. Michael Irvin always pretty much had Emmett Smith.
Yeah.
Early on in his career, after a couple of years, they drafted a very great number two receiver in Alvin Harper. So there was always this crap. How much do we look at him? And I will say, it's very tough. Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver of all time. A lot of people say Randy Moss is up there too. Terrell Owens. Name me the team that those guys played on for a long time that didn't have the other guy on the other side. Randy Moss had Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Terrell Owens had an older Jerry Rice. You had John Taylor in Jerry Rice's career. Like, these guys have other people to take a little bit of pressure off. It's when you have nobody else on your team that then these receivers look, I don't say ordinary. Like you said, CeeDee Lamb's not having a bad year. But at this point, there's nothing that's going to change a defensive coordinator's philosophy against the Cowboys.
And I think I'm definitely in agreement with you there because Robert Prince, the Cowboys wide receiver coach, has said that CeeDee Lamb has been getting more consistent double teams this year. And you look at it based on what you were just saying, and you're like, yeah. And that doesn't feel like that's going to change
no,
anytime soon.
Until they can run the ball better.
Yep.
Or like Mike said, have better options elsewhere. It's got to be all over the place. It can't just be one. It's a pitcher, right, Mike? If I'm just throwing a fastball down the middle, they're going to crush it. I got to be able to mix it up.
My son found that out yesterday.
Oh, were you on the call? No.
I was. I said, bold move, throwing the 1-2 pitch right down the middle.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did he look up at you? Did he hear? Did he talk to you about it later?
And he goes, I think I was too excited. I was like, yeah, it happens. Like, you know, you get an adrenaline rush of like, I want to get him out. And then you forget how to pitch. And you just try to. Like, that's the great thing to me about football. And I know there's a lot of thought that goes into it. But if you just want to go on pure effort and energy, that's called defensive line. I know there's techniques. I'm not stupid. I know there's more to it. But, man, that's the great thing about football. You can just take an athlete and say, here's your job. Kill the guy with the ball. We'll work on everything else. But you're such a pure athlete. You have so much talent. You actually don't have to do anything right to still be somewhat successful. But, man, if we can take that athletic talent and ability and say, go kill the guy with the ball, and then we give you some technique with it, holy cow, will you be Micah Parsons.
Okay, yeah. Now, let's give you a couple of running back updates. Kyren Williams, in case you missed it, he scored another rushing touchdown. Now has 9 straight games with rushing touchdowns. Bigger news for Alvin Kamara. He got a 2-year, $24.5 million extension. I believe about $21 million of that is guaranteed. So he was just about out of guaranteed money, showed them a little something. They're like, hey, let's keep it going.
And there was... I know there's a discussion maybe tomorrow. There was a rumor floating around that he was asking for a trade. And then he hops on Twitter and he's like, I'm not effing asking for a trade.
Do you think that's because he had been told, hey, we're going to pay you?
Deal's coming down. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe he did try to leverage that at one point, and then he was like, I got to change my mind now.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Or maybe not.
Now, Corey, the biggest story, obviously.
Mm.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson will not need finger surgery, and yet Jameis Winston will start this week.
I do not know why my Twitter always shows me so much Brown stuff. I really don't know why. But
is it Derek Holland just retweeting it?
No, I follow a few Browns people. Maybe it's because I went up to Cleveland or whatever, but I get a lot of Browns information, and Jameis Winston's getting the start, and Ken Dorsey's going to be calling the offense now.
That Dorian Finney-Smith guy? Whatever his name is, Robinson Thompson.
I was like, Dorian, hold on. Who?
He made top 5 hottest cards this week or last week.
On the sports card?
And I was like, who? What? Like, are people this stupid? Like, I guess they just think they're hoping the magic happens.
Sure.
It turns out to be Jordan Love or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, people are like, he has to start. Deshaun Watson blew out. I need to buy all the backup quarterbacks cards. And it's like, no, he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
don't do that. But I get it. Like, there's the miracles of Tony Romo.
That's true.
Right?
Now, the Titans also made a trade today. They're going to send Ernest Jones to the Seahawks. And in return, they're going to get back linebacker Jerome Baker and a 4th-round pick. So another, though probably not talked about as much, trade for the day to go along with DeAndre Hopkins.
Are you interested to see if there's more trades like coming down? Because it seems like teams are like, it feels like teams see this as an NFL they can actually win.
See, I kind of do, and that's why, again, we've talked about this before, I hate the philosophy that we heard from Jerry on Tuesday about, like, no, not really, because all the issues we were just talking about offensively, whether it's secondary wide receivers or running backs or whatever, I do not see that fix on this roster at all. Like, Jalen Tolbert's making his way up in the world, but not all of a sudden you're going to like, whoa, we can't double cover CeeDee Lamb. Brandon Cooks comes back. Look, I like Brandon Cooks a lot. You still haven't seen that training camp connection in actual games. And then I see people saying Dalvin Cook, and I'm like, I mean, I don't, maybe behind this offensive line, what in the world makes you think that Dalvin Cook can get anything going with this running game?
Saving him.
I guess that
he's going to have fresh legs.
Maybe is the case. Saquon Barkley was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after rushing for 176 yards, and it probably won't surprise you to know that Lamar Jackson was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week after he had 5 incompletions to go along with his 5 touchdowns.
He's pretty good, dude.
He is pretty good.
Is everybody kind of reassessing that, or are they like, oh, yeah, we forgot? I feel like that's the thing, is people just kind of going, oh, yeah, we forgot he's that good.
It's interesting. I've seen him move to the top of the MVP betting odds. I don't see it. But that's just me as one person. Clearly, Vegas is in the business of making money, and they're like, no, we're putting him
at
the
top.
It
would still, Kevin, to go along with what you said, it would still make more sense based on what you told us.
Yeah.
That Josh Allen, if he stays the way he has this year, gets it. Despite like whatever Lamar Jackson does, simply because of what's happened in the past.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, opening night of the NBA. We just saw it. Season storylines to watch and stat predictions for the Mavs if you'd like to play along. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.